Hello, Brent.
Travis, I am still in LA. My voice does not quite sound normal after
you got that VidCon funk.
Yeah, you can hear the VidCon in my throat.
That's down home. That's artisanal VidCon coming through.
Yeah, good. Or is it artesian?
No, I think it's artesian. Artisanal, I think is
artisanal.
Artisanal. That's a you look nice today joke.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Brent.
Ask away.
What were some big takeaway things you saw at VidCon? You were like, oh, this is the future of YouTube.
Okay. Well, a lot of people there. First off, so many male YouTube bloggers. Sorry, vloggers.
Thank you.
They look like Vanilla Ice. First off, I don't know if it was just VidCon or just the LA YouTube scene, but early 90s hairstyles are back.
Really?
All the skinny white guys look like Vanilla Ice. All the skinny black guys look like either the House Party guy or early Will Smith.
Kid in Play, please.
There
Kid
you go.
Play.
With that cylindrical, like,
high top face.
Yeah, man. It's back. So that said, there's this thing that's like, I call it a smegue because it looks so stupid.
I gotcha. It's like a skateboard. It's like a hoverboard, except it doesn't hover, plus a segue.
Right. I think some of them are called e-rovers or like a two-wheel real-time balance thing. But basically, it's a little imagine the bottom of a Segway that needs no handlebars on top. It just knows which way you're balancing.
It's a skateboard Segway.
And they've got LED lights on the bottom. And basically, they are, according to what it seems like at VidCon, all the rage. If you ask me, to be totally honest, they look like a one-man I'm a dildo parade.
You heard it from the horse's mouth.
I know they're probably going to become really popular. I'm going to sound like a grandpa, like, oh, Brent doesn't know where the future's headed with fashion and technology. But honestly, I feel like if you're riding around one of these things, it's like, seriously, you could just walk. You look dumb.
I also don't think there's anything you've said in the last 45 seconds that was the tipping point for whether or not you knew about fashion and what was cool.
But that said, VidCon was fun. I definitely stayed out late. First off, for those of you that are like, you went to VidCon? It's a long story. I didn't know I was going to VidCon till days before. Used a badge that was not originally intended for me, but I did have a good time, and thanks to everyone I met there.
So I wanted to talk about, it's not new news, but it's news. That is that about 10 days ago, 11 days, depending on when you're listening to this, the 2015 Emmy nominations were announced.
Yes.
And we'll talk about them, but I think one of the big stories to come out of it was, while not a majority, a surprising number were for online in-demand shows, or so we're talking your Hulus, your Amazons, and mainly your Netflix.
Right. There was a time where the Emmys were dominated by network TV and then to a lesser extent cable. Then cable started slowly creeping up more and more, but now it's really surprising how many shows are what they call their broadband category. There's cable, non-cable, and what are called broadband nominations.
So to give you an idea of the difference, in 2014, Amazon Instant Video had zero nominations, right? Netflix had 31, Yahoo had zero, Funny or Die had one, EW.com had zero. This year, 2015, Amazon Instant Video, the biggest jump, had 12 from zero last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? ComedyCentral.com picked up one, EW picked up one, Funny or Die picked up two, and LouisCK.net, the only like non-specific, you know, so specific, I guess.
Well, but what the thing is, it's not a corporation. All these other things are huge numbers of people. And even though it takes more than one person to run LouisCK.net, it's pretty cool that his website gets its own nominating slot, or rather nominated.
What I think is very interesting is NBC.com, three nominations last year, one nomination this year.
Well, there's apparently a lot more competition this year.
Well, yeah, Netflix went up from 31 nominations last year to 34 this year. Now, Netflix had 7 wins last year, so I think a little bit of the proof will be in the pudding as far as how big a jump that
is. True, but compare the Netflix number of nominations to the networks. Now, let's keep this in mind. Netflix has been making original programming for something on the order of 5 years, whereas NBC, CBS, ABC have been making programming for, what, 60 years?
And most of them have dropped. ABC actually went up. ABC had 37 last year, 42 this year. CBS had 47 last year, 41 this year. CW, 2 last year, 2 this year.
Consistent.
Fox actually went up. 18 last year, 35 this year. NBC, 36 last year. NBC this year, 41, so they went down.
But the thing is, like, Fox is a major network. It's been around, 30 years? I think it launched in the mid to late 80s. And Netflix has one less nomination this year on the Emmys as Fox.
If you look at the fluctuation from last year to this year, they're within that margin of okay, great. Netflix is competing with those major networks.
Absolutely.
I mean, and if you look at even not as established, but a little bit older networks, like AMC this year only has 24 nominations.
Yeah, and they had Breaking Bad and Mad Men.
Yeah, Comedy Central, 25.
Now that doesn't...
They had Jon Stewart, they had Colbert Report, they had...
I guess now that I think about it, Comedy Central having 25 alone is pretty impressive.
Yeah. But really, I think one of the you know what? There's no two cents about it. The Runaway, HBO... 126 nominations. As many as, let me do the math real quick, ABC plus CBS plus Fox. Yep, more than ABC, CBS, and NBC combined. More than ABC, CBS, and Fox. Basically, more than any three of the
major
main four
networks, yeah,
put together.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Ridiculous.
And that's up from last year where they had 99 nominations last year. So almost a 25% increase
for
HBO.
I think you could argue a huge part of that is HBO was one of these companies that decided we're going to make an app that is going to go alongside Netflix, Amazon, Hulu. We are going to... Now, I find it interesting, though, Travis. I know Hulu has original programming.
Mm-hmm.
Are they on the last year or this year list of any nominations?
I have not seen. Let's look.
Now, I'm not sure this actually indicates that they have failed somehow, but where are they?
I think they're a lot newer to the party when it comes to making their own content. And I think Amazon, if I remember correctly, has been trying for a couple years, and this is just the first time they've gotten some nominations. What are some Hulu original series?
Oh, get ready for some shows that everyone's heard of. The screen's actually loading.
Isla Sai is the one that jumps out at me. They got The Awesomes, they got Deadbeat.
Doozers, Forget About It, Moon Boy, or is that Mo One
Boy? No, it's
Boy?
Moon Boy.
All right. Quick Draw, The Bridge.
Okay, so I think that while these are good shows, and I've watched and enjoyed many of them, they're not quite on the level of, Transparent. They're not quite House of Cards. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So I think that that's the thing is, for a starting out network, I think Hulu has a lot of really great programming, but not quite on the, that's a shoe-in for an Emmy.
Not quite the LouisCK.net level.
Well, here's the important thing to keep in mind, and a lot of people don't think about this. When it comes to the Emmys, a lot of it has to do with how much you're able to funnel into publicity when it comes to nominations and votes and everything. So you could have shows that are incredibly popular and shows that everybody watches that just don't receive Emmy nominations.
Sure.
So I don't think it's necessarily a reflection of the quality of the program.
Right. It's kind of how there's a huge difference between which movies really stand the test of time and which ones won Best Picture.
So let's talk about some of the specific nominations, okay? 24 nominations. No surprise here, Game of Thrones.
Yep.
All by its lonesome. The next highest amount, 19 nominations, American Horror Story, Freak Show.
That is a surprise.
13 nominations, Olive Kittredge. 12 nominations. Bessie, 11 nominations. House of Cards, Mad Men, and Transparent. So, like, just looking through those, none of those are major, like, CBS, NBC, Fox, CBS shows.
Right.
Unless I'm missing one. And then we get into 10 nominations, American Crime, Boardwalk Empire, 9 nominations, Veep, 8, Dancing with the Stars. I think Dancing with the Stars might be the first. I don't know who makes American Crime.
That's a good question. ABC.
Okay, so American Crime is made by ABC. So American Crime is the first show at 10, so 14 less than Game of Thrones. And then you get into more of like your Saturday Night Live, you know.
Now what I think this indicates, though, which you and I discussed earlier, is that I think that there are younger people watching cable than are typically watching network, and people even younger and typically more urban and coastal than that are watching Netflix, Amazon, Hulu. So,
oh, I think what it's an indication of to that point is Teresa and I have talked about this a bajillion times, where if it were up to me, and I think there's starting to be a move towards this, where what I want is to be able to watch the things I want to watch without having to pay $80 a month to get a cable package to watch what is like 300 channels, where really I'm only going to watch 6 of them. So stuff like HBO Now. And then Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, all of those things where it's like, watch what you want to watch, pay for the things you want to pay. When you don't want to watch anymore, just stop paying for it. You're not under a contract. We're not going to penalize you. And so it lets you kind of enjoy. And the way that Amazon's like, we'll just put up all of the episodes all at once. So, like, we don't worry about you forget, like, losing track, losing interest. Just veg out. Watch all the episodes in one day. So you really get invested, and then you're like, well, I have to wait a whole nother year for them. It makes a lot more sense.
That's one thing I will say, that the next time I hear about a series that everybody loves, for instance, I heard great things about Transparent. Personally, I loved it. I heard great things about Kimmy Schmidt. I loved it. Better Call Saul, same thing. However, actually, wait, no. Strike Better Call Saul, because that one, actually, you did have to wait every week. But the other two, Kimmy Schmidt, Transparent, I blew through both of those. I swear I think neither of them lasted more than 2 days, because I just binged through 12 tops. Maybe it was 10 or 12 episodes. So to me, I feel like there almost needs to be at least – in my apartment, a culture of, okay, I really love this pilot and I really love the second episode. I'm going to wait a little while and like dole out the goodness.
That's the beauty in my mind of that. Like, we put all the episodes up all at once. Is Teresa and I liked the first 3 episodes of Kimmy Schmidt so much that we were like, this is a treat from now on. Like, when it's like, you know what I really want to do? Go home and watch an episode. So we still, at this point, have not watched all of them. But every, like, 2 weeks or so, we'll spend a night watching 2 episodes, and then we'll watch something else. Where it's like, you know what? I'm not worried about losing interest in the show because it's so good. You know what? Right now, one of my favorite shows on Netflix is BoJack Horseman. Now, part of that is because I produce a podcast in which the, like, creator of the show is on it.
Part of it is that you are, in fact, a humanoid horse.
Well, yeah, that helps a lot. But it's also, like, so good. And I think it exemplifies to me what is so special about having a show on Netflix or Amazon or Hulu, where it's, like, the comedy of it, the sense of it, the sensibility of it would not fly. It's like a show you would see on Cartoon Network, as far as, like, the Adult Swim, like, the wackiness of it.
Yeah.
But with the sensibility and, like, mature sense of humor of, like, something you would see on a major network.
Well, here's what it reminds
me. Not that Cartoon Network isn't a major, you know what I mean.
Here's what it reminds me of. Growing up, you know, I was one of the kids in the family, and typically the adults in my extended family were pretty PG around all of us. And then I became a college student, where we still had, you know, some younger kids in the extended family. So at Thanksgiving, everybody's pretty PG, maybe a bit PG-13. And now the youngest kid in the family who's usually around is like, you know, a junior in high school. So now, typically, most of the time we're with extended family, we kind of speak and act however we want, and there's a lot of reality, there's a lot of truth there in our language, in our tone. And what I'm getting at is network TV is kind of like Thanksgiving when you've got little kids running around, and cable is kind of like when you've got, you know, tweens at the youngest. And now stuff like Netflix and Amazon is able to have, like, the room where just the adults go. It doesn't need to have nudity and sex per se. It doesn't need to be provocative so that, you know, it'll be titillating. It's just adult in a way that is very truthful and honest. And if you're an adult, you go and watch these shows and you're like, yes, this is my truth.
Do you know what I think it's honestly is like? We're starting to swing back towards the days of network TV being where you went for events. Like you went to watch the, you know, the Super Bowl. You
presidential
went to,
debates.
Right? You went for, we're doing a live showing of Peter Pan, which yes. we're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, back in the day, it was radio that you listened to for your stories and you listened to for, like, the things you got really caught up in. But, like, you went to the four channels that existed to watch the live comedy show, like a Saturday Night Live, that you couldn't do Saturday Night Live on Amazon.
No.
You couldn't do that on Netflix. You need it to, like, come out every week.
Right.
Right? So you need, like, news shows. You need that kind of thing. But, oh, man, it just feels like so much of TV. And I will say one sentence is about this and then move on, is getting so flooded with shit. Like, Teresa and I were at a bar the other day, and they were, you know, background TV thing, where I was like, three guys whispering in the earpieces, the other one saying, like, now tell them this. Now pull the underpants out of the box and tell them. And it's like, somebody put money into that? Somebody, like, said, like, somebody will watch this. Anyways, let's talk about the things that got one nomination.
All right.
Right? Do I think they should have gotten more nominations or they should have gotten zero?
You're asking me?
Yes.
You got it.
Adventure Time.
More.
Correct. Alan Alda and the Actor Within You, : a Young Arts Masterclass.
It should have gotten all of them.
Correct. American Idol.
Less.
Correct. Antiques Roadshow.
Ooh, you know, I'm going to lean more.
You're correct. Archer.
Now, I know you're a bigger Archer fan than me, because everyone is.
Yes. Oh, you don't like Archer?
I don't not like it. I just don't really.
Okay.
It's fine. It's a show that I go, this show is fine. I don't hate it. I don't super love it.
I think it should have gotten more, but I think like any comedy, like, what do you give it?
Sure.
Except H. John Benjamin should get a lot of awards. At Midnight with Chris Hardwick.
You know, because of the cultural phenomenon, I'm going to personally say more.
More, definitely more. Well, I have obvious ones. So, like, Children's Hospital, I think, should have gotten more. Community should have gotten more. Conan should have gotten more. Dancing with the Stars 10th anniversary special.
Well, now,
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Let me guess. You're feeling not so much on that.
Not so much. Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Eh. I mean, it's, you know what's crazy? How long, Travis, would you say Jimmy Kimmel Live has been on TV?
3 years.
12 years.
Get the fuck out.
I found out the other day, I was listening to something, and they mentioned Jimmy Kimmel Live, and it was from 10 years ago, and I was like, wow, really? Jimmy Kimmel Live premiered January 26th, 2003. Now, while we're on the subject of TV shows from the past, the most Emmys ever won by a series ever, just for a fun fact for y'all,
No, I like it. Just, I use y'all a lot. It's
all right.
The proper plural.
The thing is, I use it facetiously on Twitter, and it just came out in kind of a real way just now, and I'm freaked out by that. The most Emmys ever won by a series ever, for y'all, Frasier, at 37.
I think that speaks for itself.
I love Frasier.
So that's going to do it for this Monday Mini. Listen, if we had some dissenting opinions, if we said some stuff and you were like, well, hold on, what about this? Or you didn't even mention this thing. Or here's an interesting fact about Netflix or Amazon or Hulu or anything like that. Let us know. You can tweet at us at Trends Like These. You can join the Facebook group, Trends Like These Appreciation Group. You can email us, trendslikethese@gmail.com. There's all kinds of ways. You can also go to our website on the front page of the laziest website in the world. You can click on many different ways to share our episodes with other people. Sometimes people don't like iTunes, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You can share it a lot of different ways. If you're someone who does use iTunes, we would encourage you to go on iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, help us move up the rankings.
And earlier, Travis, you mentioned the Trends Like These Facebook group. We're going strong with 656 members of our group, which is awesome. I just wanted to quickly shout out some new members: Starla Barber, Kieran Robertson, Erica Griffith, Gavin Deason, and Marvi Castro. Thanks, guys, and thanks to everybody else who's a new member of the Trends Like These Facebook group. If you get on Facebook and just search Trends Like These, it's called the Trends Like These Appreciation Group, and we always have a lot of discussion going on in there. You'll learn about trends before they're trends, and you'll probably make some new friends along the way.
I also mentioned the Facebook group. One more thing. We're working on what we're calling the Trends Like These Improvement Fund. If you got a couple bucks, literally like one, two, five, we're not asking for much, go on trendslikethese.com, click the donate button, and just PayPal us a couple dollars. Help us pay for stuff like our new logo that we've put up, which is one of my favorite things ever, new website we're working on, a lot of other stuff, plus all the time that we put into managing this show. It's also not free to put out the show. We have to pay, you know, monthly hosting fees and everything like that. And every little bit helps. We really appreciate it. I want to say thank you to Graham and Catherine and everybody else who has donated to us. Thank you so, so much. We really appreciate it.
You guys are awesome.
And I think that's going to do it for us. Brent, am I forgetting anything?
Well, I think you and I need to figure out how to make Frasier get one more Emmy. I don't know why I couldn't commit to that without laughing.
Well, Brent and I have to go renew Frasier, so we'll see you in a couple days.
See you Thursday.